This is a mother-daughter podcast, but it is not for kids. This podcast will be discussing adult subject matter that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion advised.
To another exciting bonus Halloween episode of Don't Look podcast. Happy Halloween and blessed Samhain to those who celebrate. I am Kat's mom.
And I'm Kat.
And this is a podcast where
I watch movies with my mom.
Uncomfortable movies.
Uncomfortable movies with my mom. Sorry.
So you don't have to with yours. And it is our horror to watch.
Your pleasure to listen.
Hooray.
Which, wow, this one... Okay. I haven't seen this one yet. I've been avoiding these movies because I heard they're really, really awful. But in preparation, I did watch the two previous movies, one of which shares the same name without a number, and the other one has a completely different name and is an anthology.
Yes.
I want you guys to guess before we reveal.
Well, I'm sure all our horror fans in the Super 8 have already guessed what it is.
But or just like read the title.
I mean, we know not everybody in the Super 8 is a horror fan.
That's very true.
We're guessing anyway. I don't know the Super 8 personally. At least not all of them, I don't think.
No, I'm pretty sure one of the Super 8 is definitely not a horror fan.
So... yeah, that they might be a little bit in the dark because I don't think this is going to be up their alley. Sorry.
No, and I feel like my clue was pretty vague.
I don't know. I think it's pretty clear for anybody that knows, anybody that's in the know. And it's topical because
it is topical.
There is that's yet another one out now.
That's another clue that made it, I think, much more obvious. speaking of vague clues, do you want to fill the Super 8 and other listeners in on something exciting that we did recently?
We did so many exciting things recently. I don't know. I feel like I'm in the dark on this one.
I was thinking the one that contains vague clues.
Oh, okay. The really long one.
The really long one. The most recent thing that happened.
The most recent thing that happened that we did.
That I think that we're both still lightly affected by.
Lightly affected by. This is a rough one.
It's bringing an energy to the pod this week, this month. Right.
So I think we've talked about it before. And for those of you who may have listened, we had the Exhumed 24-hour horror-a-thon this past Saturday into Sunday at the Colonial Theater.
As of recording, not as of release.
Yes. Here in beautiful Phoenixville. It was 24 hours of 35 millimeter films. Exhumed does it once a year. They used to do it down at the International House in Philly, which has closed, RIP, due to COVID. I saw Valerie's Week of Wonders there many, many moons ago. Mm. And now they do it here at the Colonial. They'll be there for at least the next 3 years. So excited about that. I think they're building their own space called The Space now. So I'm wondering if maybe it's going to move there. And I hope not because it's in South Jersey and I don't want to go that far.
No. Stay here.
I like having it right here. So if I need to run home, I can. Anyway, yeah. So they do new movies every year. It's 15 films over 24 hours.
Which really means they're in the theater for at least 25 hours. I feel like I was there longer than that because I got there at like 9 a.m. and then left at like 2.
You were had obligations.
I was helping out. I volunteer.
Wander in and out. yeah, it was tough. It was a tough one. I stayed awake for a good 80% of them, I feel like, but I think
I'd say I was about there.
Those of us with sleep issues actually kind of benefit during things like this. It's our time to shine. Those of us with insomnia, dysomnia, night shift workers, you know who you are. Yeah, I think this is really our time to shine, and it does give us a little bit of advantage during this one event in our lives. that we pay for with the rest of it. But excellent films this year. I don't think there was really too much of a dud in there. I mean, I think there were some that maybe didn't bring the same energy, but I don't think there was any bad ones.
No, I think I liked pretty much all of them. I think that some of them were a bit on the slower side.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that is kind of nice.
You're going to have that because, I mean, you're going to snooze a little bit in there.
Yeah.
And if you have something that kind of brings the pace down a little bit, or maybe something you've seen before, I think you can kind of take a little nap.
I think there were two that are like Svengoolie films. And then one that I just didn't enjoy because it's not my type of film. And everything else I thought was pretty good.
I'm just going to let you guys know the one that she did not enjoy is the giallo classic Four Flies on Grey Velvet.
I thought it was fine.
Kat is not a fan of giallo.
I'm really not. I'm sorry.
It's not everybody's cup of tea.
I know so many of you like it and probably are judging me right now for not, but it's just not my jam.
It's not for everyone. That's why they make chocolate and vanilla. There's a lid for every pot, and giallo is not yours, but that's okay. That's okay.
No, but we'll probably watch some giallo films on the pod.
Sure. At some point, there will be some giallo in here because I mean, they just lend themselves to this kind of thing.
They do.
Yeah, so it was a good time had by all. It really, really was. But there was no gift this year, and I'm really pissed off.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Usually you get a little freebie at the end for making it all the way through.
I've done it 3 years now. The first year I got a really cool cup, and the second year I got a nice pin, and I was the only one in the fam that made it through the first 2 years.
Yeah, so I had to work the second year, and the first year I had a commitment that I had to be at by like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, which is about the same time that this lets out. Mm-hmm. So there was no way I could possibly be there for the entire thing the first year, and then second year working, and then this year I was like, yes, I am all in. And no gift.
No gift.
We had some Lucky Charms, but there was no gift.
You're so disappointed.
I was not that
we don't absolutely love you, Exhumed Films, and are so thankful for you putting this on. And you know,
I mean, we're still gonna show up.
Oh, 100%. And we understand how much this costs you, and like the energy and time that you must put into this. But also,
but we put a lot of energy and time into.
Yeah, we can't want to get
like a little pin or something. That's all. That's a little something, a little pair of socks or a hat.
Oh, a pair of socks would be cool.
Wouldn't a pair of socks be nice? You know what would really be nice? That's way over budget would be a blankie, but That's so over budget, but wouldn't that be such a nice thing? Like everybody gets a little blankie. Like, you know, in the hospital, like when you're in the cancer center and you get like infusion blankies for people. Sorry if anybody's going through chemo, but you know what I'm talking about. Or if anybody works chemo, you know.
Dude, we got donated so many blankets by Subaru. Because Subaru does that thing where they donate like a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got so many that we had to stop accepting them from Subaru because we're like, we have no space for these blankets. I'm really sorry.
Not that sitting in a theater watching movies at all compares to anything anyone is going through with any type of cancer is so horrible and ridiculous. I'm just saying blankies are nice for everyone.
Yeah, someone who...
at any time. And we certainly wouldn't want donated blankets, but I mean...
No.
With the price of your ticket.
Yeah. And as someone who worked in a cancer center, like my heart goes out to all of you that are going through that because it's really rough.
We just love blankies.
Yes.
We're very blanket heavy.
Moral of the story, we like blankies and pillows.
And fuck cancer.
And fuck
cancer, yes. That's the moral of the story.
I think we got lightly off track here. Again... We're recovering still from spending 24 hours in a theater.
Yeah. And eating nothing but like snow caps and popcorn.
And some light snacks that we snuck in.
Like, I don't even remember. We had like a quick dinner break where we all ate like a half a burgie and then like ran back
to the theater.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it was like a thing. And so many coffees.
So many coffees. Some Diet Coke. Yeah. And like a beer or two.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good times. It was fantastic movies. I am in my annual horror movie watching Bonanza, the Madness horror movie watching Madness. This year's We Are Family. It's my group on Facebook run by the head huntress, and I think I've mentioned it on here before. This movie fits in, the movie that we're going to watch tonight actually fits in really well.
Oh, yeah, automatic triple bonus.
Automatic triple bonus for this, because the protagonists, another clue for you guys, are brother and sister. So, yep, we're going to get automatic 6 points for that.
Gosh, and this was a long one, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, a shout out to everybody in the Madness group. I'll post a little thing on there probably to let you guys know what that's all about. I do this every year. I spend a lot of time watching a lot of films, and I am still so far down on the leaderboard. It's crazy. I don't know how people have time to do all this stuff. And I'm not even working like a ton in October. I've got some obligations that I have to do for work that piss me off that I absolutely have to do. Some other stuff that, you know, I have, you know, it's life. I have to get done. And I have no idea how people manage to watch as much as they do. I'm like frogs in a log agog at how people manage this every year. But I am doing my best. And the 24-hour horrorthon actually had quite a handful that I was able to get a lot of bonus points or automatic triple bonus for in the family category that we have.
There were also a lot of vampires, which was
year's thing. So I could have gotten some bonus points for that too. But yeah, the head huntress on Facebook, she does a lot of work with us. I'm not going to shout her out by name because I haven't talked to her about it. So she puts a lot of work, a lot of time into all this. And, you know, there's a lot of us that participate, and just we have to, you know, we submit these summaries of all these movies that we watch. And, you know, she has to go through and, like, you know, judge them and make sure our points are right. And, you know, there's a handful of people that help her out with this. And it's just like it's so much fun for me. I'm so sure it's fun for like a lot of other people who, you know, that I've, you know, kind of gotten friendly with like over the years, just kind of doing this. And it's just such a wild ride. I am so knee deep in all this. We just completed our third week of this, in which I had to watch all of the Addams Family. There was an Addams Family series binge and a Munsters series binge that you could do, optional stuff. But if you wanted to, you could get like a lot of points for completing it. And I slogged my way through the Addams Family. My heart goes out to anybody that made it through both series. Oh, my God. It was so much. And I just continually hear the Addams Family song playing in my head, and probably will for the next month or so.
Yeah.
So a little bit a little bit crazed right now.
This late October energy is very much prevalent in this episode recording so far. I feel like, I don't know if it was here last Halloween if we did a special, but gosh, wow.
Yeah, I'm like around the twist. I really feel overextended. We did the Hubs and I, my little smooshie and I did a trip over to Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando the first week of the month, and I think that has like thrown me off for all of my October happenings, and I am like wildly off schedule for stuff I need to get done, so I don't think I want to do that again next year. Much as I love Halloween Horror Nights, I think I want to try and plan to go maybe that last week in September and get it in then, because this is too much. I got thrown off by a week. And then, you know, I had to work in there. It was horrible. But, like, I don't know. But Halloween Horror Nights, I thought it was a great year. I know it's been getting some hate online from some folks. And they're saying that it was terrible. I thought it was fine. I liked it. I love Ghostbusters. I love Frozen Empire. I am obsessed with the mini marshmallows, the mini Stay Puffs.
She is. She loves them so much.
So I was hype to be able to get in that house and to eat my delicious s'more. I thought that all of the houses were great. I thought probably the most confusing one was the Universal Monsters Eternal Bloodlines house. We got the Express Pass, which I highly, highly, highly recommend for anyone who's only going for a night or two, to be able to get through all of the houses. So we were able to get through everything fairly quickly, and then just eat everything that we wanted to, which was great. And then we also did the Unmasking the Horror tour for six houses when we were there. And I cannot recommend that enough. Shout out to our tour guide, Harry. you were fantastic. I learned so much. Thank you for letting me monopolize so much of your time and ask all my dorky questions, of which I have many. But if fans of the pod Super 8 knows that I love that kind of crap and seeing how things work and that I'm a home haunter, and anytime I can learn how to do cool stuff makes me happy. So it was really, really cool. But on that Unmasking the Horror tour, we really got the whole backstory of the Universal Monsters House, which I did not pick up on at all when I was going through it. Very like sparse bits here and there. I kind of had a vague idea about what was happening, but it sure was pretty, whatever it was. And then getting that whole story of like this, you know, vengeance and all this stuff that happened, it was wild to hear. So that was really cool. If you have the capacity to get there and do the Unmasking tour, I highly, highly recommend. I almost wanted to go back through a couple of the houses once I had seen that, to be able to appreciate them a little bit more, because, you know, you're going in the conga line and, you know, you don't always get to see everything. And then if you're off the timing with some of the scares, you don't get to experience them as much as maybe you would like to. Really, really, really awesome. I loved the whole thing. I had a great time. I also went to Gatorland and saw alligators, which was awesome. I got to feed them a chicken leg. And we went to a couple haunts that were down there. We went to Sir Henry's Haunted Trail, which was awesome. And we went to a petrified forest. I am pretty excited. We got to do some out-of-state haunts. They were so different from haunts up here, because we're so used to, you know, cornfields and like that farm kind of hayride vibe. We are so chainsaw heavy up here. I just assumed chainsaws were just an integral part of haunted houses everywhere. They're not. The chainsaws are an anomaly in the two that we went in.
That's so weird, though, because I feel like that's like what this area is built on, is like farming and all of that stuff, and like being one of like the original colonies and like having all of that type of
that was on. That apparently this is a northern thing.
Guess that makes sense, but yeah, like, still weird,
because it's really not farmland in Florida. I mean, you're not really farming anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like swamps and weird stuff down there. So yeah, there was like maybe two chainsaws and everything. I just went to Field of Screams with my niece Zeke a couple days ago, whenever that was. Friday. So as of this recording, it would have been like 4 days ago, I think.
I don't know. It's like a month ago with the 24 hour.
All right. And there were, God, I can't even tell you how many chainsaws. I think in every house at Field of Screams, there is another chainsaw that will chase you. There's a whole section of chainsaws on the hayride that are there for you. So I missed them when they weren't there. I really did. It was wild. It's like, well, where are the chainsaws? And then like one would come out and everybody would like really freak out over this chainsaw and I'd be like, but this is supposed to be here. I don't understand. This is what it is.
For those of you who don't know, my mom also just really loves chainsaws. Like, I think that like since I've been, as I was little, she's always really loved chainsaws. She talks about getting a chainsaw and having a little gas chainsaw. And then they have those like glowy chainsaws from what was that company?
Haunt saw
has like super cool chainsaws.
Yeah, they actually
had
some chainsaws at Halloween Horror Nights in one of their scare zones. They had folks with chainsaws, and I kept wondering if they were haunt saws, but I thought it would be rude to ask.
So I feel like you should have asked.
Well, I'm not gonna ask a scare actor being like, is that a haunt saw? I should have asked the tour guide if I'd have thought about it. I would have, but it was out of my head by then. I was so busy thinking of all the other things that I had questions about.
If any dedicated fan out there really appreciates us, and you know, my mom especially,
I am an Evil Dead fan from all the way back, and I think that chainsaw has just like imprinted itself in my head, and I need to have them. So folks in Florida don't get a lot of chainsaw action. Come on up to the northern states here, and if you love chainsaws, we are very chainsaw heavy. Very, very chainsaw heavy here. There's also no hay on a hayride.
Wait, what?
Yeah, down there we went on Sir Henry's Haunted Trail, which I love. And don't get me wrong, I loved both of the houses that we went to. Both of the haunts. They were great. I love them very much. They were just different and wild. And I had actually changed my pants because I was wearing, it's hot, which is unusual because usually it's cold. We have to like layer up when we're going to these things because it's, you know, October, and that's cold most of the time in Pennsylvania. But yeah, down in Florida, it's not cold, it's hot. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to wear shorts on a hayride. That's going to be weird. Like, I'll get hail and up my shorts, like, gross. So I put like long pants on because I'm like, oh, hayride. Yeah, there was no hay. It was just like a wagon.
I guess because it's so humid down there, they don't want it to mold.
I don't know. And it had benches on it. And it looked like...
Well, like a hayride wagon has benches on it. Like the side along the side.
No, it's just hay. Like when you go on a hayride, there's just hay.
Some of them have benches.
Okay, well, the haunted hayrides that I go on, neither one has benches. They just have hay.
I feel like when you go on like your hayride tour of like a pumpkin patch or like an apple orchard sometimes, there are benches along the side. I feel like I remember doing that as like a field trip one as a kid. I will not say that is common. I will just say that occasionally I feel like it's there.
This was like benches on a school bus.
Like across?
Forward-facing benches.
Oh, no. These are like along the wall benches.
No. These are forward-facing benches and there is no hay. And I think they just like built this cart because it wasn't just like a regular hay wagon that I'm used to. And it was good. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. But it was just so odd to me. And there aren't houses that you go in. It's a trail.
Hold on. Now I need to rewatch that Bob's Burgers episode and figure out what they were sitting on.
I don't know. But we just had, it was like trails through different things. And it's all like sandy ground. And the whole thing is just so strange. It was so strange. And it was lovely. And it was great. But I will say, especially... I'm going to shout out both of the haunts, Sir Henry's Haunted Trail, because Agua de Muerte, Water of Death, that house in that haunt was so cool. It was like a Spanish conquistador type situation, which I thought was so great for that area. It made so much sense. It was fantastic the way that they had it built up. You walk through a church, there was like a water feature, there was the walk that you walk over, there's conquistadors, there's like a wild priest. It was so cool. I absolutely loved it. That was my favorite part of that that haunt. And a petrified forest also had some really cool stuff. They had a little behind the scenes thing that you could do, like a backstage tour also, where you could kind of go down the chicken alley, like where people would pop out and they would pull the scare actor out that we got to talk to. And you could actually go in. They had like a laser swamp with the fog, and they let us go in and like do some spook 'em ups like in the laser swamp, which I thought was really cool. So, and that's a haunt that like gets torn down and rebuilt every year brand new, like in a space that they have in like the middle of like a commercial area, which was wild to me too. So very, very cool. Very cool. My other spook 'em ups, because I'm going to dominate the conversation for a minute.
For like a long time.
I know, is Feel the Screams I go to every year. Shout out to them. This is like, I don't even know how many years. It's over 30. I've been going probably for most of them. They added on a whole bunch. I'm guessing they got the Trans World bump. They added a whole like new like paved road area, a whole new like house for just tickets and info. They added a chainsaw bar. They really spiffed up the Den of Darkness. It looks fantastic. They added some stuff in the hayride. They improved definitely one of the spots on there. They had like the shade thing that does like a scientific research deal. And that was one of the newer things, but it always felt like a little bit lacking. They really beefed it up. It is so much better. They added some scare actors in the whole thing, and they really did a great job, except on the Asylum. That one really needs a little help. But the Nocturnal Wasteland, the Den of Darkness, and the Haunted Hayride all were beefed up this year. Fantastic. And we went to Bates Motel. Shout out to that one. I love it. That one has changed. I guess I'm thinking they also got the Trans World bump because they've also changed up a whole bunch. And they do have the best hayride with hay. with or without hay that I have ever been on. I really got to shout them out. Not that any of the other ones were slouches, but I mean, their hayride is supreme and I will stand by that. And I think those are all of the individual spook-em-ups that I have done. More to come. More to come. Talk about this in November.
So, yeah, that was fun. And while mom was busy doing spook-em-ups, I think in Florida, or maybe she was working. I don't know.
I was working.
You were working. I went to Ghouls Night Out at the Colonial with our good friends, Corinne and her daughter, Serenity, which that was very cool. I don't know if they've done this before.
I don't think so.
But it was an adults-only showing of... Hocus Pocus, and then there was like a little after party with like special drinks and everything, and it was a lot of fun. I was so thrilled that so many people showed up. I know we talk about the Colonial a lot, but it really is like a space that means so much to me, and I will talk about them whenever possible. So I'm very excited that so many people were interested in going, and like so many new people especially came out for that. I really hope that more people go and more people who went come back. And we also went for Witchy Wednesday yep. to see The Craft, which was yes. very fun. And then on Thursday, because it was like Wednesday, Thursday, and then and 24 Saturday, hour day, on yeah. Saturday, we skipped out on the Friday showing of I don't remember what because we were like, Yeah, so on Thursday we went and we saw Alan Howarth, who was one of the people who did the score for a whole heck of a ton of movies. But for this one, it was for Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, Woo. Which is my favorite Halloween movie. I am firm on that one.
Well, you know me, I'll watch anything with Tom Atkins.
That's true as well. I mean, like, Halloween 1, Halloween 2, both very good. But Halloween 3 is definitely my favorite. I love the Silver Shamrock song. I do frequently sing it. I have a little sign with my little Silver Shamrock thing. I think I mentioned in the last episode that I was telling my coworkers I was so excited to put it up, and then I was humming a little Silver Shamrock song, and they all looked at me like I was crazy. But yes, so it was wonderful getting to he like played along with the score, like the score was still going, and he would like noodle on his keyboard or like his little drum pad, and he was like, I'm just gonna add some funky beats to it.
And it worked out.
It worked out. It was really, really cool. Well. And then he had a really cool Q&A.
Yeah, and things got weird.
Things got weird. He has some thoughts and opinions that were very interesting.
Yeah, he answered some like musical questions, which was cool, and then things got really weird when the aliens came in.
Yeah, which like wasn't even a question about pretty much anything that had to, like, he did stuff for Star Trek, so I could see it having to do with aliens, but it didn't.
The question was like, you know, we talked about the stuff that you do for work, and you know, do these like, for me, but what do you like to do for you?
What do you like to do for you? And he's like, aliens and the ancient pyramids. And I'm like, okay.
Like, all right.
We're on for this ride.
Yeah, yeah. He talked about this book that he, what was it? The Rod of...
Yeah, it's like the Rod of Mathematics or something.
Amun-Ra or something like that.
The Rod of Amun-Ra. Yeah.
Yeah, where...
It's like a book about math for the pyramids and like what unit of measurement did they use to put all this together.
Right, to achieve it. And then taking the mathematics and putting it into a tonality so that he could create like music that, you know, was based on all this and how it relates to life and the universe and like all this stuff, which, you know, is such a cool concept. But then he met this guy
he met the author, yeah, of the book. And the guy was like, oh, come outside with me. I'm going to show you something cool. And he's like, hey, the two aliens or spacecrafts or whatever are going to fly overhead like, pew. And the guy like had his head down, like looking at the ground. And he's like, all right, here they go. Pew. And, like, he had them put on this whole show for Alan.
Bizarre. Yeah. And this is the story that
he's telling us.
And we're just like, oh, my God.
And it's getting late at this point. It had to have been, like, 10:30 almost.
Yeah. I mean, we had been there since 8.
Yeah. And then he tells us this whole funky story about the aliens. And in his story, he said, oh, you know, the aliens, they just think you're really cool. They're going to show you a special trick. Get ready. It's just for you because you've been extra great. And they really like your vibe. And then, like, the special thing happened. And then, so he finishes up telling us that, and he's like, you know, you guys have been a really great audience. I really think you're great. I really like your vibe. Like, almost the exact same words.
Yeah, so he liked our vibe. So then we got, like, a whole thing where he played guitar for us.
Yeah.
With, like, this wild video. And some of it was, like, from Halloween, and some of it was, like,
from other movies,
Escape from New York, and, like, all this other stuff. And, you know, it was, then he was singing a little bit, and it just got very strange. And it was one of those nights where you're like, I feel like I have been given some knowledge, but I don't know what it is or what to do with it.
Important thing as well, it was the full supermoon.
It was. Like, something changed. I don't know what it was. It was one of those things. And telling the story, I'm sure whoever is still listening to this is like, you guys are freaking weird.
Yeah, I know. We haven't even told you what movie this is yet.
What are you talking about? Where is this even going?
Nowhere. It's going nowhere.
It's going nowhere. And we knew that when we were sitting there. And I think Kat even said, like, this is going to be one of those things where we're going to tell people this happened. And they're not going to understand what the heck it was. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. We can't explain it to you.
But all I'm going to say is
the clock hit 11.
And he was still going.
He was still going. He started playing Bad to the Bone. And we're like, I have a hard out at 11. I have to go to work tomorrow.
But I'm sorry. You have the chance to see Alan Howarth do anything.
Yeah, do anything.
I think you need to take that.
100%. And
get
I would ask
get
him how
the knowledge.
Yeah, I would ask him how the aliens are doing.
Yeah, just get the knowledge get because the knowledge. I think it's something that you're going to need. I don't know how yet, but I'm pretty sure when the apocalypse comes, we're going to have a little bit of an edge.
And this might be a bit extreme, but it really gave me like vibes or like reminded me of the one Futurama episode where he meets the guy with the four on his shirt and the tinfoil hat. And the guy was like, yeah, no, you're actually really special. And here's all of how you're going to like defeat the main enemy in this episode. Like, it felt like that level of like,
it was just
I know
wild.
All of these things that you will never understand.
It was wild.
It was wild.
And you know what? I don't know, but I hope. So I'm just going to leave it with that. I'm just going to leave it with that. And if anybody has the opportunity or the interest, and you should,
you
to
really
see
should.
Alan Howarth. I mean,
I will
this
say,
dude is a trip. You got to check him out.
I have never believed more than I did when he was telling me that.
I know. I mean, it's like my pop would watch Ancient Aliens all the time. And I was like, okay, this is amusing. But I mean, this dude, I mean, you know, I am a little bit convinced.
Yeah.
A little bit convinced. So, I mean, we'll see. So, all right. Is there anything else that we want to talk about before we drag this out for the poor people? I mean, this is the bonus episode.
I know. And I know that we told
it's
you
supposed
in the last
to be quick
episode
and dirty.
That the bonus episode was going to be long because we're, you know, we have got all this stuff because it's spooky season and we're busy people during spooky season.
So busy.
And I feel like we're talking just so fast.
I know. Because I'm busy. I have ACLS this week. I have to go see Jose Garcia here in a little bit.
Rescue Annie. I think that's everything.
Okay. All right. So shall we reveal the movie of the night?
Oh, yeah. Do we want to go over our hints for any last minute guessers?
No, I think they know.
All right. They know.
Or they don't. Or they don't care anymore. They're just like, they want us to shut up.
Honestly, probably. Fair. Fair. Very fair.
All right. So tonight's movie is a rated R 2022 horror slasher release that is 2 hours and 18 minutes long. It is Terrifier 2.
Yeah, so I watched All Hallows Eve and Terrifier 1 to prepare for this. I'm pretty excited. I haven't seen this one, but Mom says it's good.
I really liked it. I'm not a huge Art the Clown girly. I don't always care for gore's sake. I don't always care for like that kind of toilet humor stuff that kind of accompanies this guy. So I am not like 100% an art fan, but I will say the evolution is fantastic from All Hallows Eve to Terrifier 2. I think that it is so elevated. I absolutely have to give it credit. I really did enjoy this movie.
From All Hallows Eve to Terrifier 1, it's a massive
jump. It's a massive
jump. I will admit that. And I feel like certainly not enough people are talking about All Hallows Eve, because I really think it does show where they started from.
Yeah, like this is where it started and this is where it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, watching All Hallows Eve, I was like, I was right. I'm not going to like this. This is not for me. That's fine. We'll just talk about it and I'll be like, yeah, it wasn't for me. That's fine. But then watching Terrifier, I was like, okay, I kind of get why people like this.
Yeah.
Again, I'm also not like a gore for gore's sake person. I think I'm more less so that even than my mom. But it wasn't a bad film by any means.
No. I mean, and I think, you know, with Art, he's kind of a goober.
Yeah, like, which I do kind of appreciate.
You know, and he's just kind of like a, you know, doing it for the laughs kind of guy. But he's doing like these really horrible things. And you're just kind of trying to reconcile the two. And I think I will have some thoughts on that, but I'll save it for a little ways.
For when we're actually
talking about the movie.
I'm excited to get into this. I'm hopeful.
I assure you that it will be better than the last two.
Okay.
And it gives me a lot of hope for Terrifier 3 out in theaters now. I'm really hoping. I'm not, like, I don't know, maybe we should do this one for Christmas. I don't know. I kind of feel like a little bit weird about Christmas movies sometimes, but I just really like Santa. So I kind of like to keep him like off in his little pristine little snow globe sometimes.
Christmas movies aren't allowed to be uncomfortable.
I mean, they are. I mean, Silent Night, Deadly Night, all that good stuff. But
great.
Yeah, Don't Up Until Christmas, and you know, what the heck was that other one? What was that Christmas? French one? Oh, Black Christmas was a good one. The one where
with the sheriff and like the guy that's going around killing all the sex workers.
No, that was the British one.
Oh,
there was a French one with two little kids and they have to call and like try and stop this whole thing that's going on. But it doesn't matter. That escapes me. Just
rare
cut
exports.
Not rare exports. Cut this
that's
part
another.
Out. That's from Finland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cut all this part out.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of it. It's a French name and it's like Dial Santa or something like that. I can't think of what it is.
Whatever.
Just cut all this out. But yeah, sometimes I feel like I just like Santa. I like him to be pristine sometimes, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, there are some definite fun runs. I do think Rare Exports is a fantastic movie that is, you know, very Santa heavy, but is still scary.
Yeah, I love
and
Rare Exports.
Fun, you know, like I really do enjoy it because it's like a completely different kind of vibe from everything else. And I think that the ending of that movie is just,
it's hilarious. It's wonderful.
So great. It's so lovely.
I liked Krampus a lot as well.
Yes,
I will say
Krampus. I do love a Krampus. I am a very big Krampus fan, but again,
and
that's
did,
like
what
not Santa's not involved.
We did Silent Night, Deadly Night before.
Yeah, I think we did that. Didn't we do that last year?
Silent yeah, I couldn't remember if it was Silent Night, Deadly Night or that other one that was
the deer.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are quite a few really good, Christmas movies that are not traditional that
right.
you know but
yeah
I so understand I mean, what maybe. You mean by wanting to keep Santa in his like little bubble
so I mean I don't know if I'm ready for Art the Clown's take on Christmas, but we'll see but right now let's take his take on Halloween and let's
for
go
the third time
let's go see what's going on with Art the Clown.
All right,
so I mean for this one I think it's just like candy.
Yeah, candy,
trick-or-treat candy
and blood and guts. I don't know, he eats like that woman's face in the end of the first one.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat a face.
No, I think we'll just have some candy.
I think that sounds like a good
thing. All right. We'll see you on the other side.
All right. Bye.
So what are your plans tomorrow?
Meg and Melanie's throwing a Halloween party. You think that guy's still out there?
What's up with you and this clown all of a sudden? You're like obsessed.
They never found his body. What if he decides to come back here?
I wouldn't worry about it. On the off chance that he is still alive, I'm sure he's gone far away from here.
Drop on by the Clown Cafe. Drop on by the Clown Cafe. The grub is downright gruesome, but your appetites obey. Cause the food's a little funny. The food's a little funny. Food's a little funny at the Clown Cafe.
I still stand by that it's just the Vegemite theme song.
So, what'd you think?
It's hard to explain what I think because it's went up in quality to where I have to judge it on like a harsher scale, I feel like, because it's like it's able to contend with better movies.
Yeah,
now.
It's like a real movie.
It's
now.
It's like a real movie now. So yeah. I can't be as nice to it as I was before. So I would give like the first one a 6, but I also have to give this one a 6, even though it's a better movie. If that makes any sense.
I was going to give it a 7. I'm glad we're jumping right to ratings. I mean, this is fun. I was going to give it a solid 7. I like this movie.
I would say 6.5. I don't know if I could do a 7. I just think that there's a couple scenes that were a bit like too far out of left field for me. Like the glowy sword and then all of her wounds are healed. Like that felt like
I think he gets a little art house. I don't know. I don't know Damien Leone's background. I don't know anything about him. But I almost feel like there's definitely some art house crap in the back of his mind somewhere.
There's definitely some art house stuff going on back there.
Because I feel like some of the choices are very art house. And I think that, you know, he's taking things... He's almost playing in two sandboxes where one is just like, we're having a good time. And the other one is like, but there's a message here and we're saying something.
They don't blend quite as well as I want them to.
They don't.
And that's why I'm dropping it down a little bit, because I feel like this has the potential to be such a good movie if they just blended slightly better. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean, but I still like it.
I still like it. I would say... I'll probably give it a 6.5 when we get to the end, but it was still worth the watch.
Yeah. I mean,
long.
It's long. It's over 2 hours. Yeah. But I think it's definitely worth a watch. I think it's not for everyone. And I think we were talking about this a little bit before. I don't understand why this is so mainstream.
No, we were talking about this before we started recording.
Because this is very harsh.
Yeah.
The gore is very harsh.
And, okay, you know that we normally, for our uncomfortable moments, will do, like, the smutty type of things. Because that's, you know.
That's the traditionally uncomfortable.
The traditional uncomfortable things. We have none of that. And we're normally chill with gore. But this is, like, our uncomfortable moments for this one are the worst gore in the film. This isn't even like all of the gore. This is just where it was
the worst, the most uncomfortable,
and the most uncomfortable, the most like
because let's be honest, you're not going to sit down with your grandma and watch Terrifier 2.
No, and you shouldn't sit down with your kids and watch Terrifier 2.
You shouldn't sit down with your kids and watch Terrifier 2. And we are very staunch about not telling anybody how to parent their children. Everybody's kids are different, and you know, much respect for everyone who's trying to raise them in whatever they feel is the best way. But man, I'm
drawing a line.
You shouldn't watch this with your kids.
You should not, unless your kids are full grown adults, like I am. And even then, I feel like maybe, but you should not watch this with your kids.
It's tough. It's tough. I mean, your kids are going to be pretty desensitized to watch this crap. This is a rough one. There's no smut here, really, to speak of. There's no like real nudity. You saw like a little bit of side boob that we almost wrote down, but I was like, what's the point? Because what follows is so crazy.
There's the drawing of the boobs in the dad's sketchbook.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the nudity you're going to see. It's in Terrifier 1, everybody knows. I mean, if you're aware of Terrifier, you're aware of the hacksaw scene.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that until watching it.
That's where that came from?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and we're not going to go into it, but you know what it is.
If you know. If you watch All Hallows.
If you don't know.
Don't worry
about
it.
You don't want to know.
If you watch All Hallows Eve, that end scene, which I think we'll get into a little bit later, is, you know, pretty rough, I would say, and pretty . And then in Terrifier original as well, there's that one scene where it's he's a woman.
Yes.
So,
yes, with spare parts.
With spare parts.
So,
I mean, there's there's some very distinct scenes in their previous iterations that were much more sexual
in nature.
So,
I mean, again, I think that's part of like the elevation here is there's definitely gore. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely gore for gore's sake. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's more story driven, more plot driven, more character driven this time.
Yes, which I very much appreciate.
Yeah. So I think like this is the elevation of Art the Clown. And I think that is what's important about these movies is because it's a very clear journey that we're taking
right
in storytelling and filmmaking and all of that, and we're all kind of taking that journey together,
right,
which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I 100% do, and I think that that's very, and don't get us wrong, I think it's very great that a indie movie or like something that came from what it originally was has made it into a sphere where like people are talking about it and like it's getting an audience and that sort of thing. I think that it's a wonderful improvement.
Oh yeah, I think that's great.
I think that's so awesome that they're able to like get into that sphere. I just don't think that this is harsh stuff to watch. Yeah. And we mentioned it earlier, but I don't think Art can party with like our boys of like Jason and Michael and
yeah
Freddy.
I mean, you're not gonna be like, oh, I love, you know, Jason, he's great, he kills everybody, it's so cool, but then you're gonna put this on, it's a totally different level,
yeah,
of gore and killing and just like sadism that you're gonna see with Art the Clown versus Jason or Freddy or Michael Myers or
right, where you
Scream
have, like,
or anything really.
Your nameless killer going around.
Yeah.
Yes, so Ghostface was the other one I was trying to remember. Thank you.
You know, trigger warnings.
Gore,
violence, massive gore and violence.
Mental health.
Yes, definitely mental health issues.
Drugs,
alcoholism.
Suicide.
Yeah, it's like.
I mean, he did, but like, I don't know that it was intentional.
So super intentional. You know, family trauma, that kind of thing. It's all there. I mean, if you think you're going to be a traumatized person, just don't watch this movie. Like, it's not for
you. It's a fair assessment.
It's just not for you, dog. It's just say no. And like I said in the beginning, I mean, this isn't something you're going to, like, roll up with your, you know, 10-year-old niece and be like, hey, let's watch Terrifier, unless you're an asshole or you're really trying to piss off, like, whichever sibling you have by, like, terrorizing their children. So as far as like uncomfortability, I'd say this is just like a hard pass. Watch it with your friends.
Yeah.
Like your friends that are into this stuff. Like, don't inflict this on anybody who doesn't want to see it.
And even like watching it by yourself is pretty rough.
Yeah. I mean, you know what you're getting into. I think
you do.
I think anybody who's like aware of Art the Clown is aware of what you're getting into.
Which is why I was so hesitant to watch these for such
a
long time.
Right, right. I mean, I watch everything. I think you guys all know. I usually seek this kind of crap out. And, you know, when I heard buzz about Art the Clown, like, I jumped on it and was like, okay, what's the deal? So I watched them, you know, from All Hallows Eve back in the day and kind of came up with the, you know, watched them as they came out. So then when Terrifier 2 came out, I was like, oh, geez, here we go. But I was so pleasantly surprised by this one, and I'm really hoping to be even more pleasantly surprised by Terrifier 3. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. That being said, quick synopsis. Just this is a brother-sister story, which we kind of talked a little bit about at the outset. They are living with their mom. Their dad had passed away, which we really don't find out the backstory until
the very end.
Yeah, I mean, well into the second hour of the film.
Yeah.
When it's finally like, we know he's not around.
Actually, yeah, into the second hour. Sorry. Yeah.
So we know he's not around. We know that something happened. There's like a sketchbook. There's like some weird things happening, you know.
And there seems to be some trauma associated.
Yeah, there's definitely trauma going on with it. And, you know, everybody's kind of like all high key about it. But nobody really knew what the heck was going on until we get this exposition, way later by a friend.
Let me tell you, from like a film perspective and like a writing perspective, I think actually was a really great way to do the exposition, because it's like the friend of one of the main characters is telling her boyfriend, who doesn't know anything about the situation, about it. And he's like the viewer stand-in to be, so that we have someone there to be like, hey, what's going on? Right. And I think that's always a really nice way to do it.
Yeah, it was really cool. So you're kind of like wondering and like, did I miss something? But was this explained in Terrifier 1 and I just forgot? Like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. But no, it wasn't. I just kind of kept guessing. And this is where I kind of feel like there's a little bit of art house happening in here because there's definitely something there.
Yeah, there's a lot of like art house moments that I'm just like...
This is like elevated trash is what's going on.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something happening here. And I am not... And we've said before on here, we're not taking deep dives into the whys and wheres and whens of this stuff. We're just talking about what makes these movies hard to watch.
No, and we can in a separate podcast if you guys are interested.
But I don't think you are. So
I don't think you are. Let it go. I want it to happen. Please tell us you're interested.
So it's, you know, brother, sister living home with the mom, getting ready to be Halloween. Brother's a little messed up. Sister just like
also a little messed up, also but a little like in messed a different up way.
In a different way. Mom is also a little like just frustrated and kind of over it
because these kids are messed up.
Because the kids are, it's hard raising teens, you know, and you know, the husband's not there and she has her own trauma to deal with from all of that. So, I mean, everybody's just kind of in a bad place, but they all just want to like go out and have, well, the two kids just want to go out and have a good time. And I think the mom just wants to like relax a little bit. Art the clown shows up and just like messes up the whole vibe.
Yes. Now the whole vibe. Now this is like taking place right after the first one, basically.
Yes.
On the, like this, it starts, I think, on the same day that the interview happens in the first one.
I think so.
So like you have like the, all of that going on and then people are like, oh, but they never found the body, like that type of thing. Yeah. And that's kind of how you get into this. He's right there now.
Yeah. So you kind of pick up with like the movie opens with Art the Clown kind of finishing up what he started in Terrifier 1. So if you're really interested, you know, go ahead and watch Terrifier 1 before you watch this one. But you don't have to.
You don't have to by any means.
Because it's a different story and different film. I will say at the start of this one, Art the Clown kind of wanders into a laundromat. He's going to wash his clown suit.
Yeah, yeah.
So he does strip down. He's just wearing his clown mask at this point, and he's like nude except for his mask and his shoes.
You do not see anything.
No, you see a butt for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, or 2 seconds rather. And then you're introduced to the little clown girl, who I think has a name, but I don't know what it is. And it's kind of like weird, like as to who can see her and who cannot see her. And is she real? Is she not real? It's kind of like a strange thing happening with her.
Which that I didn't understand, but we'd go into that in a deep dive podcast, which this is not.
Yeah. And you're introduced to her by like, she just takes like this massive shit on the floor.
And it's the, okay. Sorry,
and
to
this
keep,
is where I almost dipped out. Of
sorry,
this movie.
And sorry to keep referencing the other films, but they're fresh in my mind. It is like this weird cocoa pebble consistency in liquid, which is the same thing that it was in the first one. And I'm like, why is it that texture? No one's poo should be that texture.
Oh, it can be.
But like, it shouldn't be.
But it can be. Speaking as a nurse.
I know.
Because it's disgusting.
It is. It's like a vomit texture, but
because A, it's easy to reproduce, and B, it's disgusting.
That's true.
So
it's true,
I mean,
on both counts.
And this is what she's having is diarrhea on the floor, and it's gross, and it's like, what the hell? And they're both laughing at this. And this is the point where I almost walked because this is not my vibe.
No, it's not funny.
At all. I mean, if you think it's hilarious, cool.
It's
but
good
I,
for you. But
I don't. It's just not my vibe. And I almost dipped on the whole thing. But I was like, no, just give it a chance. See what happens. And it does improve from there. Mm-hmm. So don't get into it for like the first 5 minutes and be like, what the hell am I looking at? And then just kind of dip. Ride the train a little bit longer and it will get better, because I'll tell you, I mean, and we don't even really talk about anything too bad until what the first after the first hour. I don't think
an hour 3 minutes 30 seconds.
Yeah, so I mean, you've got nothing but plot here.
Yeah.
You've got, you know,
like more than half of the movie is just plot.
Yeah, you've got like Art the Clown showing up. You've got the, you know, brother seeing him, not sure what's going on. You've got sister seeing him, not sure what's going on.
Trying,
you know,
to convince mom.
Trying to convince
up.
Mom something's up. Mom's not here for it because she just wants to have a normal life because she's done. You know, all of these things are happening, and you know, the sister, she's just, you know, trying to remember her dad by making this really cool Halloween costume, which is a character that he drew for her because he was an artist and he was into drawing like comics and stuff. And he's like, you're going to be brave and strong like her someday. And she's like, I'm going to make this costume to honor my dad. And,
and it's a very slutty costume.
It's very slutty. It's like a Valkyrie type of thing with like wings and shit, but it's like,
it's cool, really, but like she's got,
she's
like
not wearing a lot.
It's so little is covering her bottoms. Yeah. And her mom's like, oh, your tits are gonna fall out. And I'm like, I don't think that that's, I mean, that's definitely a concern, but it's not my top concern.
Yeah, she's like no pants at all.
As like, you know, an ace person who just wants everyone to wear more clothes.
So, I mean, you've got all of this happening, all of this family dynamic, which is being laid out for you, which is really cool. It's really effective.
It is. It's very good.
Like you really get the frustrated mom and how she's just, she loves her kids and she wants to take care of them. But she's also so frustrated between trying to keep food on the table and keep a handle on everybody.
Keep everyone out of trouble.
And all they want to do is get into trouble and mm-hmm. how she's trying to handle this. And it's not working. And it's just so rough. And then like the brother sister dichotomy where it's like, you know, they love each other, but they're brother sister. So they're like butting heads. And, you know, maybe my brother really is having, you know, some issues and I really need to deal with it. And, you know, maybe not. I don't know. Like, how much do I want to get him in trouble? How much do I want to protect him? You know,
that he's saying true or is he making it up?
Right. So you've got all of this being set up for you, you know, with Art the Clown kind of showing up and, you know, killing some folks and just being a dick. So it's not that there's no gore leading up to our first uncomfortable moment.
No, but I would say it's gore that's like on par with your standard slasher.
With your standard slasher. There are kills before this that we're going to talk about.
So we're going to talk about two of the kills in this movie.
Yes. We're going to talk about two in particular because these were the most uncomfortable kills.
And there's what?
There are many other kills, but these are the worst.
I can think of like five other off the top of my head. So, yes. I mean.
So why don't you hit us with our number one?
Our number one. And this, I would argue, is probably, at least for me, the most uncomfortable in the movie.
I think it is the most comfortable. And this is one that I will think about from time to time and be like, yeah, that was really bad.
Men would think the other one's worse because like they have that hole, but you know. So this is 1 hour, 3 minutes, 30 seconds to 1 hour, 6 minutes, 16 seconds. And this is where Allie, one of the friends of the main character, dies. And it's really brutal. Like Art just destroys this girl.
Yeah.
He scalps her, he cuts her open, he pours bleach on her, he pours salt on her, rips off her arm.
Yeah, I mean, he does like all these things, and then you think like, okay, it's done, and she's like crawling away trying to get her phone, and then he like runs back in with like
bleach
and salt
and like rubs it pours the bleach on her and then like shoves the salt into her big open wounds.
It's rough
and then you're like, rough. Oh gosh, yeah. She's dead. That was awful. And then, you know, a couple moments later, 1 hour, 8 minutes, 19 seconds to 1 hour, 8 minutes, 56 seconds, her mom is freaking out, like, oh my god, what happened, runs up to Allie's room and is like, oh my god. And then she's not dead. She's still alive.
And Art the Clown is still there and he's like chopping her up a little bit more.
He's like chopping her up and eating her legs,
like peeling her skin off or something like that. Yeah. And she's still alive. Like she like kind of sighs and opens her one eye that she has left. And it's like, oh geez.
Yeah, she like still alive. Sits up and like, yeah. So that's it. It's really rough. And
it's really rough.
There's no way to describe it over like this type of format that would get across to you how rough it is, I feel.
And I'll tell you, the effects are so good.
They really are.
And I think that's what makes it worse. It's depraved. What he's doing is completely depraved. Because, I mean, he's scalping her with like this tiny little pair of scissors and like ripping her stuff off and he's pulling her arm off, which is so far-fetched, whatever.
Oh, God, I hate it.
But, you know, and he's ripping her fingers apart and like all this really terrible stuff. And the effects are so good that you're buying it. Like, you know, there's no way that you could be doing this to a person.
There's no way you could be. There's no way that she wouldn't pass out. There's no way that, like, any of this.
And, like, you're on some level, you're understanding that this is, like, completely not a real thing and it's not possible. But the effects are so good that you're like, yeah, he totally did that. So, I mean, you're having, like, this little war in your brain between, like, nah, and, like, well, maybe. So it's, like, back and forth, and you're watching it, and the whole time he's laughing and, you know, but silently.
He's a mime.
So, I mean, you know, he's pointing, he's laughing, he's like, oh, this is so funny.
He does this,
you know,
shrug where he's like, I don't know, it just happened. That's just Tuesday. Like,
yeah, it's like this whole thing. But it's so horrific. And this is, I watch a lot of these. This is kind of where I live. This is, like, you know, what I do. I've seen a lot of kill scenes. I've seen a lot of things go on. And this one stays with me because I think this was just rough. And I think
it's brutal.
It's very, very brutal. And I think what kind of makes it stand out is that it keeps going. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, she's dead. Okay, well, now he's back with bleach. Crap. Okay, well, I guess that finished her off. And then it's like, nah, in comes mom and she's still alive. Like, he's like nomming up her whole leg, like her ribs are sticking out.
And even after that, I don't think that you see her die, like, for real.
So,
like,
we don't know how long she's there. I mean, because we see him with the mom's head later,
right?
But not hers. So you're like, well, crap, you know, like, how much longer did she have to live through this,
right?
And I mean, you know, and logically you're like, there's no way, like, she would have bled out ages ago, she would have passed out, she would have gotten a shock, it's over. But I mean, the thought of this just continuing on, it just lingers with you. And again, the caliber of the effects is magnificent.
It's really good.
So, I mean, like, you know, you're kind of, you know, suspending your disbelief here and you're hanging in that moment with her, which is what makes it so powerful, I think. Which is, you know, a testament to how these movies are elevating, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's that one.
That's that one.
Yeah. And again, there are more kills in here. These are just the two that stood out most to us that were the most uncomfortable.
This other one is much shorter, but it's definitely not great.
No.
This is 1 hour 38 minutes 22 seconds to 1 hour 39 minutes 27 seconds.
So this is where we're kind of coming into the final confrontation scene between Sienna, who is the main character, her brother, Jonathan, and Art the Clown. And we're kind of meeting up at this abandoned carnival in the haunted house, which is called the Terrifier, of course.
Right. And so, then there's, like, this whole backstory with the abandoned carnival and Art and, like, this whole thing.
And
that's
like,
on.
Where the clown girl maybe has come from, like, this carnival. She was found there. So, I mean, that's kind of, like, all playing into it. So we're kind of, like, reaching our point
climax.
Here. We just got our exposition as to, like, what happened with the dad. We understand now he's had a brain tumor. He got abusive. He drank a bottle of alcohol, rammed his car into a transformer, lit himself on fire. You know, it was, like, a whole thing. And, like, how now we understand why the family is as traumatized as they are. So we've just gotten that. So now that the side characters have fulfilled their duty,
it's time for them to die.
It's time for them to die. They're now, you know, expendable. So here we go. So we have Brooke and Jeff, who are, you know, the pals. Well, the pal and her boyfriend, who have taken Sienna to go pick up
her brother,
who she thinks has called her. It was Art and the clown girl playing a little joke on her because everything is so funny, to get her to come to this abandoned carnival and have their showdown. And I don't think any of this is ever really explained as to why Sienna has to be the one to do this or how her dad knew.
That's like a whole other thing. Like, I don't.
Yeah, there's definitely some plot holes here that we're not sure.
And that's why I can't give it a 7. Is like, there's a few things where I'm like, I just want more information on this. I just feel like there was a bit of a disconnect here, but that's aside the point of what we're getting at right now, which is
so it's the kill.
It's the kill.
So it is Jeff, the boyfriend, who
has been like spooking Brooke this whole time and like making jokes and all that sort of thing, and he is like, hey, I have to step out, I have to go pee, and goes to the back of the car. And inside the car, Brooke notices that there's just the tip written on the window, which is the shirt that Jeff was wearing. So she's like, haha, funny joke. Meanwhile, Art stabs Jeff in the dick.
Yep. Repeatedly.
Repeatedly.
And then pulls it off.
And then pulls it off. And then wipes it on the window.
Yeah. So, yeah. Harsh.
Harsh. Yeah.
Very, like, very harsh.
And it, the rubberiness of him pulling it off really reminded me of when Megan rips that kid's ear off in Megan.
Oh, yeah. I guess that would be pretty rubbery. Like, it's just like a hanging muscle.
Yeah. So, I mean.
So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a rough one. It was definitely one of the more memorable. And then tying it in with the just the tip shirt that he was wearing, which is ridiculous. You know, it's one of those, like, everybody's seen him around Halloween where it just has, like, the knife and, you know, the bloody knife. And it's, like, just the tip. And sometimes you see them with, like, Michael Myers on them. Like, he's just going to put the tip of the knife in. But, you know, obviously it's a dick joke. So it was just really... It was elevated gore. It was elevated gore. So, I mean... It's kind of hard. And this is where I ran into problems with this, is because this is dumb. This is so dumb. This is ridiculous.
But it was kind of good.
But at the same time, it's good. So you're just like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? And then after this point in the movie, I mean, I'm not going to say there's more kills because Brooke is obviously getting killed. I mean, a kneecap goes flying. It's a whole thing. There's a lot of just getting beaten up between... Yeah. Jonathan, Sienna, and Art the Clown. There's just blood and guts flying all over the place. Kicking, punching, beating. It's very brutal.
Well, a lot of, like, whipping as well. Yeah, with the chains.
Yeah, I think there was, like, scissors on a rope and all that.
Yeah, it's like a chain with scissors and rope and a needle and stuff.
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, there's a lot of brutality to this. But then things kind of get weird. And this is where I really feel like it gets arthousey, because... Mm-hmm. You know, there's, like, this sword that keeps coming back and forth in here. And, you know, you're not sure what's real, what's not real. You know, Sienna kind of goes back and forth in, like, this dream world where she's in the clown cafe, which I do love the clown cafe. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah, the clown cafe is quite fun.
You know, this clown cafe scenario, which is, like, a weird little commercial thing. You know, where Art the Clown shows up and has, like, a weird food truck. She's drowning in, like a Houdini box kind of thing with the water.
Like, torture cell.
Yeah, and she may die or maybe not. And she, you know, she falls into, like, this lit up hole. Like, and she keeps coming back and forth, and you're not really sure what the hell is going on or why it's going on. But for me, I was okay. Like, I'm like, all right, I'll take this journey. Like, I don't really care anymore because I've come this far. It's cool to look at. I don't really care if it doesn't make that much sense. And I'm going to ride the train. Like, I'm just riding the train because honestly, none of this has made sense.
That's
very true. It is so much better than the last two movies as far as I'm concerned. I don't give a crap. I'm all in.
I don't know. I'm not as willing to buy a ticket for that ride as Mom is.
Yeah. Like, I was already on there. I mean, I think I was probably all in from the Clown Cafe, to be honest with you.
I like the visuals a lot. I love the visuals. I just like to be able to at least figure out what is actually happening. And that's something that I get, that satisfying moment at the end of a movie where I'm like, oh, wait, so none of that was real. And this was actually what was happening in that moment. And like, oh, my God, that is the stuff that I love and I live for. So when I don't get that, I find it kind of disappointing.
Yeah, there's no real resolution to any of this. No. And I think that's kind of part of, you know, the whole thing with these movies. I think, you know, we're just being taken for a mind fuck. Like, you're just not sure.
Which is fine. It's just
what's
not
going on. And just... I don't think you're ever going to know. I mean, and like we said, plot holes on plot holes. Like,
oh,
we
100%.
Don't know what the hell is going on.
I really feel
on.
Like in this one, they tried to tie up plot holes from the previous ones, but they just made more.
They just made more plot holes. Like, I don't know. I don't know why she got a magic sword that can kill Art the Clown, but he doesn't really die. I don't know
if that girl is real, a ghost, a demon.
Yeah,
like,
because
what?
It seems like only some people can see the clown girl and other people cannot see the clown girl. I don't know what her deal is. I don't know why Art the Clown can't die. I feel like for whatever reason, pain, suffering, torture, all of that doesn't affect Art the Clown the same way as it affects other people. And I think that's why he finds it funny.
Right.
And I think that's why he's always laughing when he's doing these things, because he's like, what is the big deal? Like, this can happen to me.
Okay.
I can shoot myself in the head. I can take all these blows. I can get smacked with all this stuff.
I know.
And
that
I'm fine.
I know that we talked about it in the last episode, but it really is reminiscent of that book from that guy that Grady was talking about, where they go to that school and they learn to not have pain anymore.
Yeah, the GAD project. I did finish reading that. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, that's why I was... Yeah. And then they're like, oh, yeah, no, we can jump off the roof and it's fine.
And it's fine.
Like, it's funny. Like, I can throw knives and hit my friend and it's funny.
And it's funny. And, yeah, it's very much that kind of thing. And so that's why it's almost like he doesn't understand. He's like, what's the big deal?
Yeah,
like,
and
why
I think
are you
like
sad?
Of, like, the shrugging
why are
is like,
you
what
crying?
Do you mean?
Like, yeah. What is your thing? And it's almost like, well, then is he just really being a son of a bitch, or is he just doesn't get it?
Right.
And he just assumes that everybody's going to recover from this. And for him, it's just a game. And it's like, well, why isn't everybody doing
and
this?
I think
because
that,
I
think
can,
that
I, you
moment,
can cut off my head and I'm fine.
I think that that moment plays into it when he checks on Jonathan after, like, really beating him up and being like, oh, what? You're not moving anymore? What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, well, why aren't you recovering? Like, what's your problem? And, you know, he's just going to continue on just doing these hijinks, which I think to him are just hijinks. And I don't know if he doesn't understand or he doesn't care or both. And I wonder if he lives in this kind of like Hellraiser Cenobite world where it's like, this is just, you know, pain is pleasure and pleasure is pain. And, you know, everybody's just having a good time being bloody and torn up all the time. And this is just what we do. And there aren't these rules of like physicality that exist here. You know, which I think is probably a statement on something. Sure, there are a lot
probably
of statements being made in this movie.
Probably it's always the patriarchy.
It's always the patriarchy. Well, I mean, there's a lot less misogyny in this one than
that's
there was
very
in
true.
The last one.
Can which, say, can admit that.
You know,
that.
I mean, there's
true.
A lot of misogyny previously. And I mean, you know, I think that we've definitely come farther along that road in this one because, I mean, we definitely have a very strong final girl here. But, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting to watch, you know, and the evolution is interesting to watch. And you know, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I don't think I'm as here for it as
a lot of
other people are.
I don't think I'm as here for it as you.
I know. And I think that's fine. I don't think this should be everyone's cup of tea. And I think it's a little disturbing that so many people are so into it because these are... brutal.
This is another thing that we talked about earlier, and we mentioned this as well with Serial. Both of us are very much true crime fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very fascinating. It's something that I enjoy learning about. I think that it's very wild that these things happen, and I don't know how to describe this in a way that is not what I'm trying to explain. But I think that some people get almost too into it. And that's one of the things that they're concerned about in the beginning of this movie with Jonathan. And that I feel like that line, especially in pop culture, has really been blurred of on what side are we enjoying, like, the figuring out of these cases and, like, bringing these people to justice? And on what point are we, like, idolizing these mass murders? Like,
right.
And I feel like that kind of plays into this with us, like, at what point is it becoming too much? Like, at what point is the killer going to be too much?
Right. Like, where, because this crosses a lot of lines, I feel like. There's like
still
a lot of lines being crossed.
In the pop media. Like,
but
still,
I mean, they're saying,
still getting costumes for it at Spirit Halloween.
Yeah,
so.
Which is wild to me. Yeah, because this is something that I would have thought would have been more like a niche thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't like horror movies. I'm not going to watch that, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I think that, you know, there are a lot of people that aren't going to be into this. Like, you know, there are. But I think it's almost like a badge of honor to, you know, to be into Art the Clown these days. And
it's like reading that Playground book and all those Book of Horror groups.
God, it's so bad.
It's so bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, this is kind of rubbish. And it's like, you know, I almost feel bad for liking it, but then I don't. But I don't. I am surprised at the popularity of it because it's very, very brutal. At the end of the day, it's very, very brutal. I mean, this girl, you know, aside from the gore and whatever, I mean, she's getting kicked in the face
and the stomach,
punched in the face.
We actually we have one more moment as well.
Yeah,
we do.
We do. Yeah. You know, just like getting beat up, like beaten.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's brutal.
It's
like
brutal.
Cut, stab, like all of this stuff to her and her younger brother, who's like 12.
12. Yeah.
So, I mean.
And I mean, do they make it to the end? Yeah, of course they do. But.
But still, they're
still.
Getting like.
And I mean, the clown girl is 10. So, I mean, people are dressing their kids up like this. Like, I don't know, you know?
Like, right. It's hard.
At one point, I'm like,
oh,
it's cute. I love
is.
To see, like, a little Freddy, a little Jason, a little Michael Myers. Like, I think that's so cute. But, I mean, I would have dressed you up like Michael Myers, but I would not have shown you Halloween.
Right.
I would have told you about it and been like, oh, it's Michael Myers. You know, he comes out on Halloween, you know, da-da-da, that kind of thing. But I wouldn't have told you what it was. I don't think I would have ever dressed you up as the clown girl.
Yeah.
When you were 10. I don't think I would do it. I would feel a little bit weird about you now even doing it. Like, I don't think I would have crossed that line. Like, I would have, you know, a little Freddy, even a little, you know, people do a little, like, Billy the Puppet.
Yeah, I think that's
kind of
cute.
You know, with
cute.
Their kids,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And it's another thing. It's like, oh, it's a little puppet, you know, Jigsaw. It's kind of like one of those things. Ha-ha.
He's just one of the spooky guys.
You know, one of the spooky guys. Like, little guy.
And yeah, and I think that those characters are enough that they're able to just be, like, spooky guys.
Yeah,
and
little
like,
spooky guy. But, I mean, I don't think I would have crossed over into the clown girl or a little Art the Clown or any of that stuff. Like, I don't think I could have done that when you were little.
I feel like just what that character represents is
it's
step
over
the line.
I think it's crossing a line.
Yeah.
And my lines go pretty far. But, like, in a mainstream culture, I think it's crossing a line. Like, I would have a hard time describing. Like, if my nephew is 11.
He keeps asking about this movie, by the way.
I cannot explain this in any way, shape, or form. I can't say he's just a little guy. He's not just a little guy. He's not.
He's not.
I'm just like, this is something for you to look at when you're 18. Like, I cannot recommend this to you. I can't recommend this to really anybody.
And not even in like the tongue-in-cheek, I can't recommend this to you way. Like, in
like,
the 100%
yeah.
dead
like
period. Bold-faced,
I cannot recommend this to you, and I do not want you to watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of those things. Like, you know, if Freddy, yeah, we can talk about Freddy. We can talk about Freddy all day long. Like, we can talk about Jason. We can talk about, you know, I took the kid to Camp Across the Lake. Like, I don't have a problem with Jason. Like, he's okay.
No,
we can make that
Jason's
work.
Great.
Because Jason's like, he's so
cartoony. He's so out of this world. He's so over the... And again, not to do this, but in All Hallows Eve, one of the things that the little girl is scared about because they watch it on the tape is like, but he's just a guy in a clown costume. That could be anybody. That could happen. And I'm like, that's what's scary. I mean, you know, it's definitely gotten outside of that point.
Well,
by this
I mean,
point.
That technically that has happened. I mean, you got, you know, the John McGacy of it all. So, I mean,
but,
yeah.
And it's gotten outside of that at this point for sure.
Yeah.
But especially in like, the earlier part, it's like, yeah, that could just be a guy, and that's mm-hmm. what's scary. And it's like, he's not.
Yeah, and I think
there's
no rules here. Mm-hmm. There are no rules here. I mean,
right.
Jason, you've got rules. You've got rules with Freddy. You've got rules with Michael Myers. You've got rules. You've got the slasher rules.
You've got, at the very least, the slasher rules, and then,
you
like,
have
their weaknesses.
No slasher rules with Art the Clown. You have no weakness with Art the Clown. You got nothing. You got nothing. And he's not even just like basic slasher rules. He's not even just a slasher. He'll use a gun. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not just like a slow walker. He doesn't, you know, you can cut his head off. He's still coming back. Like, there's no rules.
There's
and
no
he
rules.
Fights dirty.
He fights dirty. He killed himself at the end of the first one to avoid getting arrested.
Still coming back. So
to come back.
And I think that's kind of one of the over the line. There's just zero rules. There's zero rules. And we haven't gotten to the line of hokiness yet. We're like, we're not Jason in space. We're not like, you know,
Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah, like one of these things. Like, we haven't gotten to that, like, just craziness.
We're
like
not the Dream Warriors.
Yeah, it's not like Thorn Trilogy where it's like, oh, you know, there's this ancient section that's, you know, keeping Michael Myers okay. Like, we haven't gotten to that where it's just so hokey. You're like, okay, whatever. We haven't gotten to that point with him. And I don't even know how you would get there because we've already gone so far. Like, what's going to be the point of ridiculousness with this?
Yeah, like, where can you draw a line now? Because you've passed everything.
Yeah, you've already gone there.
What can you do to rein him in?
Like, you've already gone there.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's kind of where it is for me. I think we've probably beaten this horse into the ground.
I know. We're like, we're not going to do a deep dive.
I know. This is such a heavy episode for just being a sweet bonus for Halloween.
I know. We're already like almost an hour and a half.
All right. So
last
moment, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay. This happens as like a post-credit scene. Happens 2 hours, 12 minutes, 9 seconds to pretty much the end. And this has a special cameo from one of our guys that I am suddenly blanking on the name of.
I'm just going to tell you right now that Chris Jericho is
Chris Jericho. Thank you.
I don't know what it is about Chris Jericho, but he does show up at like pivotal moments in my life to like guide me on. And this is, I know I'm sounding like Alan Howarth with the aliens, but I swear to you. Every now and again, I'll just get a special message from Chris Jericho. And I don't even know why. I'm not a huge Chris Jericho fan. I'll watch wrestling. I like Chris Jericho. He's been around forever. I don't really care for his band, but he'll show up in odd places where I don't expect him, like the end of Terrifier 2, which I did not know he was in because I didn't really watch the opening credits the first time I saw this, to be perfectly honest. And then I'm sitting here watching this thing and I'm like, oh God, what did I just see? I'm kind of confused, but this is so much better. And I kind of feel bad for liking it, but I do.
I would never publicly admit to liking this.
The comforting face of Chris Jericho showed up. I was like, okay, all is well.
And he's just a cool guy too. He's not like doing anything wild. He's just like a cool guy.
He's just like a sweet dude to me. I don't know what it is, but occasionally, like apropos of absolutely nothing, just suddenly Chris Jericho will like appear and I'll just be like, oh, okay, I must be on the right path, which I know sounds like total insanity, but I swear to you, this is how I think. Shout out to Chris Jericho.
Shout out to Chris Jericho. Yes, you've got Chris Jericho and the night shift nurse at the psych facility.
Chris Jericho is playing security.
He's playing security. He's just Chris Jericho. And they're Vicky, who is Victoria, who is the woman who had her face eaten by Art in the first one and then had the surgical face thing and is not great right now, but she's staying at this psychiatric facility. I don't really want to describe what happens.
Nobody really knows what's going on. The night shift nurse is coming out talking to Chris Jericho, who's like eating these gross Halloween treats that his wife made.
And she's like, oh yeah, no, our celebrity patient's been like super fine. She's like super cooperative, she's like, whatever.
He's like, do you want some of this like zombie platter my wife made? She's like, no, my stomach's a little off from taking care of this chick because her face is like a mess. It's a total mess.
Which so, I don't think is how they would do that IRL anyway, but...
No, but it's a mess. And so she's been taking care of her. She's like, yeah, I don't really want to eat anything, whatever. So they're like having a little chitty chat about whatever. They're watching Plan 9 from Outer Space. It's a quiet night in the psych facility, which I don't understand how these people get away with stuff, but whatever. And meanwhile, Victoria is doing this whole thing in her little padded room where she is, where she's throwing up. And then she's like bleeding from her vagina and she's taking all of that blood and she's writing all of this stuff on the wall. Filth. She's doing the C word, which I won't say because I know a lot of people are icky about it. You know, horror, just like all this crazy stuff like on the walls. And you're like, what the hell is going on? And then, you know, flashback to the conversation, then comes back and then you see that she's pregnant and you're like, what the hell is this? So then...
She, like, rips it all out.
Well, no. She's continuing to write on the wall. And then you see she writes a heart. And it says, like, Vicky plus art. And you're like, oh God. So then, yeah, then she rips everything out and you see like an umbilical cord and you're like, what the hell is going on? So then finally,
the nurse
hears it and she's like, what the heck? So she goes down to see what's going on. She pulls the window aside and she sees her like holding something in her arms and just like licking it or something. And she's like, oh my God. So she like unlocks the door, which I would not have done. I would have gotten security ASAP. Chris Jericho would have been there. Like, I would have been like, yo, dog, get some Thorazine. Let's go. And yeah, she like opens the door and then you see it's Art's head.
That was just recently
chopped off in the Terrifier ride. It's a haunted thing.
Yeah.
And like the two of them are just like grinning and like Victoria has like no lips. So she's got like that weird Art the Clown grin and like he's grinning with his weird teeth and the whole thing. And they're just like staring at you and then like end credits
for real. So I don't know. That was like another thing where I was like, I feel like we've just stepped one foot further outside of the realm of any of this making sense. I mean, things are wild, but they still have to follow rules that make sense.
Well,
and
this
doesn't, and it makes me annoyed.
That is how we get Terrifier 3.
Very true. Very, very true.
He has to be reborn somehow.
Yeah, it was wild. But I do like that all of the writing is similar to what was carved into the woman in the end of All Hallows.
Right.
So I thought that was a cute little homage. So,
I mean, yeah. I mean, there definitely is a thread. You know, and an elevation.
Yeah.
And I think that something's being said here, and I don't entirely know what it is.
No.
I don't know that I really want to take all the time to find out.
I'd do it if y'all were interested, but enough of you have to be interested.
I don't know if I want to keep revisiting this.
I don't know that I'd watch it again. I would just do like Googling research. I would
almost just be like, you know what? I just need to have a drink and pick this dude's brain. I don't know if I want to watch all these again.
No.
But
I do want to say though, I would recommend watching All Hallows Eve and Terrifier 1 before watching this, because I think being able to see the elevation, was really nice. Yeah. I think if I hadn't done that, I would have probably way more hated Terrifier 2. We'll say that.
I think that's probably valid. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, I think that was part of the fun, is watching it get better.
Yeah, because All Hallows Eve, in my opinion, is not a very good movie.
No, it's trash.
But then you, like, step it up. And then you have, like, this actual, you know, elevated thing. But if I had just seen that, I'd be like, this is dumb. Like, I would just see the things that I do not like about it versus all of the things that make it good.
And I mean, you know, just, I know we're saying elevated and we're throwing that word around a lot, and it's probably like the word of the podcast, which is probably annoying.
We're sorry.
But we're not saying this is elevated horror, aka some A24 bullshit.
No.
That's not what we're talking about. This isn't some kind of like Ari Aster whatever thing.
Also,
that's
very much not my bag.
That's
so, I mean,
not what we're talking about here. And I'm not going to say, I'm not going to totally hate on A24 and all their crap, because I do like some of it.
I do like some of it.
I do. I really, really do.
We've talked about some of it that I enjoy.
I don't really like Ari Aster, but I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm also Gen X, so I know that's more of a millennial bullshit thing, so I'm just going to say that. That's my generational dump.
Is that who did...
That's like Hereditary and all that crap, Midsommar. No.
Ugh. I didn't like any of that. People love Hereditary, though.
I know, and Hereditary, I thought was better than
Midsommar.
But I also feel like this is just a rehash of movies that were already made that were great.
Anyway, aside the point.
Who cares? Cut all this part out because it's already too long. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not saying elevated as in these are art pieces that, you know, are going to, you know, be in for the generations and everybody should watch them as classic films. No. We're saying that from point A, we've definitely taken steps up to point C.
This is like you were in the parking garage with All Hallows. You made it to like the first floor. You're on floor 2 now.
Yeah.
Versus like that would be like penthouse type
of stuff. Yeah, we're not there.
No, we're on like the floor right above ground floor, or maybe ground floor or one above. Like,
yeah,
that's not...
I mean, we're definitely taking steps up, and I think that we're trying some new things. I think it's a new perspective on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that it's very close to being something super special.
I will say I like a lot when there's not a lot of, like, you know, overly sexual stuff going on in a horror movie, because yeah. I feel like that's what a lot of them play into. Yeah. So when you don't have that,
yeah,
I
like
think that's
zero
fun.
Nudity.
Yeah, like no nudity,
not any, sex
not a lot
scenes.
Of like sex scenes. Yeah, none of that. Nothing. And I think that stuff Nothing. Is great.
Yeah, so it was really cool, which is a step up, I think, from Terrifier. So
oh, 100%.
Happy about that.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna stick with my 7.
I'll go 6.5.
And I mean, this is wildly uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, 100%.
And I don't think anybody should watch it with anyone. They're even remotely concerned about keeping as a loved one.
I'll give it a 9, because I don't, like, it's just so base uncomfortable that I don't know how much more uncomfortable it was made by watching it with someone.
I think if you were to watch this with your grandma, everyone would sink into the earth.
Yeah, but I think that's because it's base uncomfortable. So I'm giving it a 9. Just because the base uncomfortable is so high, there's not much else to go.
There's nowhere to go. there's no headroom.
So I would say 9.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say just, yeah, watch it with your buddies who are into this kind of thing. Don't watch it with your grandma. Don't watch it with your neighbor that you just met not that long ago because you just moved into the neighborhood. Like, don't watch it with these. Just don't do it.
I wouldn't watch this in a movie theater. I don't know how people are going to go, like, seeing Terrifier 3 in a theater. I don't think I could do that. And, like, watch it with strangers.
Well, I mean, I think the strangers who will be there will be the kind of strangers who are already prepared for this.
Oh, they're 100% prepared for it. I just don't know if they're prepared to see me watch this movie. Well,
they're not looking at you.
That's all right. True.
Don't worry. Yeah, so Terrifier 2, not for everyone, shouldn't be for everyone.
No.
I don't know that I can comfortably recommend it to anyone unless this is your bag and you know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I am, so I can watch this kind of stuff because I am completely desensitized at this point, I swear.
I did not think I could watch this stuff, but I think the podcast is helping improve that. So, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, like, on a level of 1 to Requiem for a Dream, I mean, this is a completely different animal.
Oh, yeah, this is, like, a separate scale.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like it's, you know, it's going to break your soul or anything. It's just hard to watch.
It's just hard to watch, yeah. Gross. Soul definitely intact. Feel like I can go to work tomorrow, not crying, not yelling, not, you know, having any of those things that happened before.
Just, you know, left with some questions.
Yeah. For sure.
But thankfully, Chris Jericho is there to wrap it up for me, which I really appreciate.
Right. But no one's there to answer my questions. Like, at the end of... I don't want to list the movies because I feel like that'll spoil them. But there are movies that I love that give me answers to my questions at the end.
Well, lucky for you, Damien Leone does make a lot of the circuits. So feel free to sit him down at the next convention and be like, what?
I need straight answers here.
Although,
bro.
You know, maybe a lot of this will be answered in Terrifier 3. We haven't seen it yet, so I don't know. But we'll watch
Terrifier 3 and get back to
you. We'll make it there for Christmas, maybe, and be you know what? Maybe we'll bump our throwback movie that we have for December and do this one instead. Or maybe we'll do another bonus episode.
Who's to say?
That's future Cat and Cat's mom's problem.
Oh, 100%.
Right now, I got to go save Jose Garcia.
All right. So Schmeeds?
Oh crap.
I know. We still got like 2 things and then we can finish.
Okay, so
you can find us on Instagram at
@don't_look_podcast.
Yeah. We have a Don't Look Podcast Facebook page. Our email is
Don't Look Podcast
at
gmail.com.
Very nice. I don't know why this is so high. It's not.
What else? I'm catsmom75 on Insta. Cat is Catastrophe Nico on Insta. You can see some stuff that we put up there. I've been a lazy girl posting in the month of October just because I'm freaking busy.
We're sorry.
It's bats. It's freaking bats.
I post 1 picture from the 24 at like the start and I was like, oh, we're going to post pictures of us here. And then we forgot to take
eventually,
pictures.
Eventually, there's going to be a huge photo dump and you're going to be like, oh my God, the DLP is posting so much.
Yeah.
What else?
Shout outs.
Shout outs to Chuck for doing our disclaimer, for Marshalls for doing our music, for Billy for doing our sweet logo that we love so much.
Shout outs to the Colonial Theater for being an amazing place.
Exhumed for the 24-hour horathon.
We really appreciate you guys. We
love it. We'll be there every year, even if we don't get a gift, although a gift would be appreciated.
We need to stop with the Velcro. It is so loud.
I can't hear it at all.
Oh, I just hear.
Oh, sorry. I can't hear it at all.
Okay. Shout out to Alan Howarth. Goddamn.
Alan Howarth for being like freaking amazing and imparting some knowledge on us that we are going to use in the future. I just don't know when.
Yep. We would love to see you again. I know that you're not listening to this, but.
Yep. And Harry, my tour guide from the Unmasking the Horror Tour, who I know will never listen to this because he hates horror movies, which makes this even cuter. He will never watch Terrifier. But he's an amazing, amazing, amazing tour guide at Universal Orlando, if you ever have the chance.
Shout out to the Super 8.
Yeah, and the Super 8, you know, we love you.
And anyone who made it through this episode.
Because this was a rough one, sorry.
You are honorary Super 8 for this episode.
Although I doubt that anyone except for the Super 8 has made it to the end.
Honestly, true.
All right, we love you, Super 8. And you know what? As far as Terrifier 2 is concerned.
Oh, God. Okay.
If it's anyone but Chris Jericho, do yourself a favor and don't look.
Listen.
Cause the food's a little